Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live from the Edmore Sawgrass Cadillac Studios, Ed Morse is your only Cadillac dealer of the year in Broward and Dade County. This is the Alex Dotto Show on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM, 96.5 FM HD2, and online at WQAM.com.
Yes!
Oh, it is.
It is.
The 7 o'clock hour, my friends, of the Alex Dotto Show here on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM. We're streaming on the internet, WQAM.com, on your smartphone, radio.com app, TuneIn Radio app, however you listen. We appreciate your patronage here tonight. You can always get at us via the plumbers911.com text line, but please don't text and drive. I say that so nicely. I should say it more authoritatively. Don't text and drive, damn it. Don't. But you can reach us at 56022. Or you can call us at 305-567-0560 or 954-567-0560. We just spent a segment talking Canes with Peter Ruiz. The FIU troll says, if I really want to save my ratings, we talk more FIU. Is that the way it works? Is that what we want? We should devote an entire show to just FIU talk and Marlins talk. But not Sale talk. I'm saying breaking down the roster. We'll devote an entire show to that and see what happens.
When you want to hear my FIU hot takes, Dono, just ask.
And you probably really have them, too. FIU alum, very proud FIU alum over there.
I mean, I did 4 years of Panther Sports Talk Live, FIU radio, student radio. That's it. It's engraved in me. I have hot takes on FIU sports for days. If you want to talk about the swimming team, I'm all yours.
I really don't. So you did 4 years of hard time, FIU student radio. There you go, man.
Three times a week, 6 to 7 a.m. sometimes, 8 to 9 a.m. sometimes.
All right. I can take that. I'll accept that. So, all right, we have a weapon we have chosen not to use yet, right? Like, this is like the Manhattan Project. We hope we don't have to use the atomic bomb. But if, you know, if one day our Hiroshima or our Nagasaki, if it becomes a necessity, we have the FIU hot take machine, Alex Solana on the other side of the glass.
I mean, you're saving me for when FIU wins their first game this season, and then that's it. All hell
right,
will break
exactly.
Loose. Butch Davis is going to be a glorified hero for a week, and I'm going to be on here spewing nonsense about FIU.
That's what we do! All right, so when that day comes, my friends, when we have to drop that atomic bomb of FIU hot takes, I don't want to use this weapon on the innocent, but when the time comes, we have this ready to go. 56022 on the plumbers911.com text line. By the way, I'll get to some LeVar Ball sound here in a moment. We were talking about that with Peter Reed, so this would be a good opportunity, but what about this Kevin Durant? Right, I'm happy he's a champion, very happy for him, but the guy still, very strange individual. So, KD did something classy last night, right? Congratulated his former teammate, Russell Westbrook, who he's got a very, very, not very good relationship with, I should say. A lot of friction there between these two, right? Not a very strong bond of friendship between KD and Russell Westbrook. So, Kevin Durant, on paper, did a good thing. Said some very classy things, very complimentary things about Russ, who wins MVP last night. But Kevin Durant buried this on the community section of his YouTube page. What? That's like the back alley of social media. I didn't even know that was a thing. The community section of his YouTube page. Who's on that? I mean, kudos to like the one member of the media, probably from AOL Fan House, who was able to dig this up, right? One member of the media was able to dig up Kevin Durant said nice things about Russ on the community section of his YouTube page. KD said, quote, huge congrats to Russell Westbrook on MVP. That boy went out there and was a created player on 2K all year. Effing balled out. Gotta respect it. Very kind words, except he posted it in a place where he thought nobody would see it. Right? I mean, it's one thing to tweet it. One thing to Instagram it, Snapchat it if you want to. I know that's a thing that I'm yet to really get involved in, but Snapchat is that's my next endeavor, right? That's my white whale Got to figure out Snapchat at some point. But you bury it in the community section of your YouTube page. That's like when you send somebody a wedding invitation 2 days before the wedding, hoping they don't show up, but eventually they'll mail a gift. Right? You send a compliment to Russ in the back pages of your YouTube page. It's a miracle somebody even saw this, right? I don't care how famous you are. I don't care if you're Russell Westbrook or Justin, or I don't care if you're Kevin Durant or Justin Bieber. Ain't nobody going to you to the community section of your YouTube page. But congratulations to him, man. Oh, my God. So how about this? We talked about this with Peter Ruiz. Peter Ruiz is such a strange individual, right? Where he says he never grew up watching pro wrestling, yet he's a huge fan of LeVar Ball and J.R. Smith. I mean, those are pro wrestling characters. How could Peter not be a pro wrestling fan when his favorite characters in mainstream sports are essentially extensions of pro wrestling personalities? And his worlds collided last night as LeVar Ball made a long talked about, long awaited appearance on Monday Night Raw. I thought Ira Winderman said it best. This was probably the most entertaining thing on TV last night, right? Better than the NBA awards ceremony, better than Ice Cube's Big Three League, better than the College World Series. Here is some of the best of the world's most famous dad, LeVar Ball, on Monday Night Raw.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome LeVar and member of the 2019 UCLA recruiting class, LaMelo Ball. Well, understand that you are in a WWE ring with the Michael Jordan of WWE.
What? Melo? Handle my lightweight. Handle my lightweight, son. Handle it. I'll unleash.
Oh, what, are you going to unleash all the balls on me?
Whoa. Family show.
No, I don't want to deal with your kids, mouth. I want to deal with you because you do a lot of this, and all I want you to do is prove it.
Boy, you better stay in your lane.
Oh, it's a catchphrase now.
Or what, LeVar?
Or the hunt is on, and you to pray.
The hunt is on. You to pray.
You want that belt?
Oh, I do.
Hey. Oh, boy, you making me shoot. Okay. Oh, put your clothes back on, fuck, man.
Took
you
the
ain't
shirt
the only
off.
Man.
Oh, I'm dying over here.
Oh, no.
Oh, that was so fantastic. He rips his shirt off on live TV. I thought he's actually in pretty good shape for, you know, a middle-aged guy. I got a couple of these tweets, like our buddy Jesse Lockhart, who he's a chronic listener. He tweets us all the time. Good dude. But, like, he was sending out these pictures of shirtless LeVar Ball saying, oh, you don't have to wait till Thanksgiving for a butterball turkey. I hope when I'm 50 I look like that, like body-wise, right? You know, respect to LeVar Ball for an older gentleman in pretty decent shape. What was that noise he made, by the way? You know the one I'm talking about. I got to hear this again. What? I mean, that's not a sound a human should make. That's the sound of a turkey. Like, you want to say, Jesse, that he looked like a turkey when he took a shirt off. I respectfully disagree with that, but he did sound like a turkey.
This is going to be our new Woj bomb alert.
Oh, I like this. So anytime Adrian Wojnarowski breaks some news, you'll hear this. How does a human being make that noise? Right there. Like, you talk about all these former football players wanting to donate their brains to science. Donate that guy's brain to science when he croaks.
Oh, the hunt is on, and you to pray.
You think he worked on that backstage, or did that just pop into his head? The hunt is on, and you to pray. That must have been predetermined.
Does he write his own skit for WWE? Because he's pretty much an expert on BS, right?
I'm pretty sure he writes his own material. Because he's creative. Like, you've seen him. He's done the talk show tour, right? He's been all over the country, all over the world, spewing this nonsense in just a glorious way. Here's how I imagine that going, right? And I've never directly covered pro wrestling, but I'm a former huge fan of it. I talk to a lot of wrestling writers. I'm very fascinated by that world. I think sometime before Monday Night Raw, he has a quick meeting with creative, right? Like, he's meeting with a couple of Vince McMahon's lackeys. He's telling them, this is what I have in mind for tonight. They tell him, this is how it's going to go. Here's where you're going to enter. You're going to have a confrontation with The Miz. They give him the rundown. He runs his lines by them. They approve them. They tweak them. But I think he came up with most of that material on his own. I really think he's that creative.
I like the idea of him just getting there, pulling up 10 minutes before with his kids, and the WWE execs just saying, you know what, just go out there, LeVar, and this is what we get.
Well, you were telling me, I think this was you I had this conversation with, that, so I didn't watch it live. I watched the clips today. Was there like some strange like editing? Like it looked like maybe they had to cut him off in an unnatural way. Like they weren't worried what LeVar was going to do. Maybe I had that conversation with somebody else. I was talking about that with somebody before the show, that they thought maybe that the WWE was worried that LeVar was going to go a little bit off script, so they cut it off kind of awkwardly. I'll have to go back and watch the whole thing on DVR, because what you played is exactly what I watched earlier today, and it was glorious, but I didn't see it in the context of the event last night. Let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Bert in Miami. What's up, Bert?
Hey, what's up, buddy? How's it going?
Good, man. How you doing?
Good. That was LeVar Ball. That was awesome, man.
That was great. See, like, I think a lot – what I've noticed over the last couple of weeks, Bert, is a lot of people who really thought they hated LeVar are starting to come around because they get it now. Like, they're in on the joke, right? They thought he was completely serious, and now they get it that, you know, this guy's having fun with his persona.
Yeah, he's having – I mean, it's all part of the, you know, he's having a blast with his kid, you know. Who wouldn't? People just sometimes look at it the wrong way, you know, that's all. But you're going to laugh. I started watching the Big Three last night, and I was surprised there was a big crowd. I mean.
Yeah, it's a huge crowd. It was like, it was over 15,000 people. Now Brooklyn, you know, New York, great basketball town, right? And it was sandwiched, between the draft and the NBA award show, so they had more of a built-in market. I'm wondering, once they start taking that to other cities, do they get great crowds?
Yeah,
I don't know.
But then I started watching a little bit of the tennis. Serena's was playing. And then I started watching the College World Series until my nephew came in, which is 4 years old. And then, you know, he ruled. So he ended up watching Nickelodeon. You know, that was my night.
All right. Thanks, Bert. Well, I'm glad he enjoyed
it.
Yeah, good stuff there. and you bring up tennis. You know, I see, like, Serena. She's on covers of magazines now showing off the baby bump. What's like the big deal about a baby bump? Like, yeah, everybody has babies. I'm here because my mom had a baby bump someday. Like, people show it off as if, like, you just launched a rocket into space showing off the baby bump. I get it. She's famous. People are excited about it. Look, when Kim Kardashian, when she had a baby bump, that was a thing. She had to pose on Instagram all over with it. I don't know what the big deal is. Let's talk to Nathan. You're on WQAM. What's up, Nathan?
Okay.
Nathan! He's not ready, man. He's pumping that iron. Trying to look good for that girlfriend. Nathan, you there? Nathan! Man, he's not ready to go. That's a veteran sports radio caller there, too. If Nathan isn't ready, I feel like the world is about to end. He's probably still laughing at LeVar Ball on Monday Night Raw. How about this? LeVar Ball was channeling his inner Yosemite Sam last night. That is what that reminds me of. And you got to figure, again, I want LeVar to become at least a semi-regular character on Monday Night Raw. You don't have to overplay that hand, because I feel like the WWE does that. When they discover something that people enjoy, they're just going to have, like John Cena, they're going to overcommit to it week after week after week. Like, I'm not saying I want to tune in and watch LeVar on Raw every single Monday, but you have that break glass in case of emergency. Trot him out there every couple of months, right? Like, if the Lakers are in town somewhere that week, you know, if they're in Los Angeles or if they're in a city where the Lakers are about to play, they're in Portland or something, and the Lakers are in town the next night, trot LeVar out there to talk a little trash. I think that could be a big weapon for them. Don't overplay that hand. Don't throw him out there every single night, but throw him out there strategically. And I think you're going to be on to big things with the ratings.
How upset would the WWE universe become or be if LeVar just started actually partaking in every episode and became, obviously they would script it and make him like beat John Cena?
Here, I've got an example of that going wrong. People will remember this. If you were a fan of wrestling in the late 90s, you know, around 97, 98, 96, you used to have this legit Monday Night War between WWE Raw, it was WWF back then, and WCW Monday Nitro. They were head-to-head for a couple of years. Like, the ratings were going back and forth. It was fantastic. Maybe the best time in the wrestling business ever, because they would, like, swap. One show had the best ratings one night, best ratings the other night. Eventually, you know, the WCW, which I was a big fan of back in the day, just got really bad, really unwatchable, and the WWE bought them out for pennies on the dollar, like around 2000, 2001. And a lot of people think that the nail in the coffin for what killed the WCW was around 2000, they made this movie, right? It was in theaters, terrible movie called Ready to Rumble, and the movie starred David Arquette. And so to promote the movie, they kept bringing out David Arquette on Monday Nitro week after week after week. He started wrestling. Now, he's an actor. Like, he's not in good shape. He's like a goofy comedic guy. They had David Arquette wrestling, and he became their champion. They put the strap on David Arquette. It was so embarrassing. Whether you're a wrestling fan or not, you're like, David Arquette is the WCW world champion? And a lot of people will say that that was like, there was no coming back from that for the WCW, that they put the strap on David Arquette, and that was the day that it ended. Like, you knew they could not turn it around and become a viable company again. So yeah, the WWE, I think, would have to think about that. Like, if they threw out LeVar Ball and he's pinning Brock Lesnar, or like he's tapping out John Cena, that could ruin everything.
I want an undefeated LeVar Ball in 2018 in WWE, and then more of this.
I love it. Oh, the Alex Dono Show continues here on WQAM.
Miami Sports Radio 560.
Listen, I got something I want to tell you.
Pretty cool this week. Michael Thomas from the Miami Dolphins, the safety. One of my favorite Dolphins. Just a really down-to-earth, nice guy, underrated player, really hard-nosed special teams guy. Pretty good safety as well, can play nickel corner. Can't say enough nice things about Michael Thomas. Michael Thomas was on the DA show on CBS Sports Radio, and he says that the haters toughened up Ryan Tannehill, that Ryan Tannehill is better now after a combination of scrutiny, criticism, you know, of course, combining with Adam Gase, getting some competent coaching helps probably more than anything else. But Michael Thomas did acknowledge, in his words, the haters have toughened up Ryan Tannehill. So I guess all of you out there who have been tweeting to him incessantly for the last 5 years, Tannehill, although 90% of those tweets were from Big O, but they toughened Tannehill up. So there was a positive from this. Ryan Tannehill is benefiting from your hate and your scrutiny. Maybe every time you said to Tannehill, Ryan, you suck. You don't deserve to start. Matt Moore's better than you. Why can't we draft another quarterback? All of that has been swirling in Tannehill's mind brain for the last 5 years, and it's making him a better man and a better quarterback. So maybe you can back off the guy a little bit at this point. But that is kind of interesting. I thought that was interesting that Michael Thomas says that the haters have toughened up Ryan Tannehill. All right. Turning a negative into a positive. I can take that. You know, honestly, full picture on this. Adam Gase and that system and the confidence he puts in Tannehill deserves at least 90% of that credit, right? And I don't mean that in a way to bash Tannehill, right? I'm not saying that, oh, Tannehill is some puppet that only operates because Adam Gase is pulling the strings. You still have to bring a level of competence, intelligence, athleticism to the table to thrive under the system of a good coach. This is equally a knock on the previous coaches. Joe Philbin, Bill Lazor, Mike Sherman, Dan Campbell, they all let Tannehill down. He wasn't getting competent coaching before. He needed a guy who knew what he was doing and knew how to tap into the strengths of a quarterback to succeed. And I get it. He's not a Super Bowl champion yet, hasn't even won a playoff game, still hasn't played in a playoff game. But you can't deny the improvement of Tannehill. You can't deny how much more comfortable he looked and felt in Adam Gase's system last year. And I think it's going to parlay to even more improvement this year. Because the biggest thing to me, biggest change is it's got to do something for you attitude-wise, confidence-wise, to know that your head coach has faith in you and is willing to let you improvise and go off the script and try to make plays. Something Tannehill talked about a couple of weeks ago. He's really been working on throwing into tighter windows, and maybe taking more risks within reason, right? It's not saying you're going to become, you know, a gunslinger with no regard for human life and make a ton of mistakes. Like, Tannehill is not that guy. He's a calculated quarterback. But instead of having the training wheels that Joe Philbin and Mike Sherman put on him, where they would immediately cut off half the field from him and they would tell him, don't try to make any difficult throws, check down or bust. Like, he doesn't have that sort of coaching staff. He's got a coach now in Adam Gase who says, how are you going to make plays if you don't try to make plays, right? Like, how are you going to get a big completion, a drive-saving completion on third down or an emergency crunch time touchdown pass if you're not taking a few risks, throwing into some tight windows, letting it fly, right? Like, how are you going to be an elite quarterback if I don't instill in you the confidence and the creative license to make things happen out there? So he's finally got that sort of faith from his coaching staff that they are willing to allow Tannehill to go out there and let it fly from time to time. I think that's important, right? You know, it's not saying you have to try to be Brett Favre when you're not Brett Favre, because Brett Favre had the gunslinger mentality, but the accuracy to pull that off. He could take a ton of risks and still win a Super Bowl and win a ton of games. A lot of quarterbacks are not capable of taking the risks that Brett Favre took. You know, most of these guys, they would end up with Ryan Leaf's career, not Brett Favre's. So Tannehill isn't quite at that level, but in order to really go out there and make plays, you have to take a few risks. And he's got a coaching staff now that's willing to allow him to do that. Wow, one of the first positive Ryan Tannehill texts I've ever seen. Tanny will go off this year. Quarterback whisperer. That's what Gase is, right? The quarterback whisperer. He made Jay Cutler look decent. Made Tim Tebow look serviceable, that Adam Gase. That, to me, was commendable, right? He should have been assistant coach of the year that year for actually allowing Tim Tebow to look competent. Find a baseball coach who can do that now that Tim Tebow is playing high A ball, which I have no problem with, by the way. I caught the general manager of the St. Lucie Mets was on with Hochman and Crowder today, you know, making no apologies for promoting, you know, Tim Tebow from low A ball to high A ball. I love the common complaint that people give is, well, that Tebow, he's taken a roster spot from, you know, an 18-year-old kid who really deserves it. We're talking single A ball here. He's not taking a major league roster spot, not even taking a triple A roster spot. High A ball. Because you got to remember something. Even high A ball teams are trying to make money. You still have an obligation to survive financially by putting asses in the seats, by selling bobbleheads, by selling beers. So I guess you don't sell bobbleheads, you give them away. But you've seen over the years, minor league baseball teams have the most ridiculous promotions because you're trying so desperately to stand out creatively and get people to the park. In the Oregon area, they once had padded toilet seat night at a minor league game. Every night at a minor league club, it's Star Wars night or Star Trek night or Back to the Future night. They have to pull so many of these promotions out of their rear ends to get people to go into the seats. Now, for the St. Lucie Mets, it's Tim Tebow night every night. Nothing will be more powerful getting people out to the ball games than having Tim Tebow. You got to think about it as a business. Competitively, does he deserve to be there? Hitting 222? No. But that 18-year-old that he took a roster spot from is not Tim Tebow. He's not putting butts in the seats. You may not think Tim Tebow deserves it, but the St. Lucie Mets do, because they need to sell tickets and they need to sell beers. So I completely understand the business side of it. If you understand LeVar Ball, you understand the business side of sports. How many sneakers do you think he sold last night? Right? Because this was something that, you know, we played the audio for you. If you didn't watch the actual video footage from Monday Night Raw yesterday, big baller brand logos, merch, all over the place at that arena. Right? When LeVar Ball and LaMelo walked out to the ring, they had the graphic on the monitors, on the Titantron. The graphic was Big Baller Brand. That was essentially a really entertaining BBB commercial yesterday, Triple B commercial. I'm wondering how many people watched that and said, yeah, I got to get me some $495 sneakers. Oh, it's itch. I got to scratch this itch. Solana, I just bought some new shoes over the weekend at a Puma outlet store. Gel insoles, paid $54.95. That's a bargain. I paid 10% of what you pay for Big Baller Brand sneakers. I haven't even taken those shoes out of the box yet. They're so amazing. $54.95 for my sneakers. And I was actually only going to pay $49.99 for them, but they were out of the color I wanted. I had to get a different shoe, $5 more. So I got ripped off a little bit, but still, I paid about 10% what it would cost me to put big baller brand ZO2s on my feet. That's how to find a bargain, my friend. Anything over $60 for me, you're throwing your money down the toilet. It's not right. Let's talk to Mike in Miami. What's up, Mike?
Man, we keep on giving this guy more airtime. I'm even calling about this guy. I mean, that was a total joke yesterday on WWE. I mean, I used to be into it. I'm older now. I don't, you know, but I heard that he was on there, and I had to go to YouTube and look at it. It was a total joke.
I thought it was. So you didn't find it entertaining, though? Like, you're so appalled by it? Like, you didn't see the entertainment value in it at all?
I didn't see the entertainment because it's all fake. It's all fake.
Yeah, the whole thing is fake. It's pro wrestling. 100% of what you see is fake.
Exactly. So I can't. I mean, I'm older now.
Okay.
I'm 40, so I don't see it. I just see his younger son on there. It was a total joke. And you know, this guy, you know, he came up with this big baller brand. Okay. The guy don't work. He has all this money, supposedly, to come up. I mean, I wish I could just come up with a shoe brand.
Well, we'll do it. That's America. We can. In North Korea, they couldn't do this. In America, we can.
And the funny thing about it, you need money to make money. I really do believe that. And this guy, whatever he's doing, man, and the money he's making off his kids, man, it's just unreal. But let me ask you a question. Did you see this thing about D-Wade, about how if he wants to get bought out, he's going to have to give a lot of money back?
Right, yeah.
I mean, now this guy wants to get bought and he wants to leave. Wade, you made your bet, bro. Laying it, bro.
I agree. I mean, he opted in because he had – I appreciate the call. He opted in because he had 24 million reasons to do so. Now he wants to have his cake and eat it too, right? He wants to get bought out, make as much money as possible, go take a veteran's minimum to play with, you know, bosom buddy LeBron so they can have these slumber parties together in Akron. Which is a giant tire factory, Akron. The whole city is a smokestack. It's crazy. Right? It looks like you are driving by just – have you ever seen the movie Hostel? Where, you know, all these – pretty decent movie because there was some quality nudity in there, gratuitous violence. The movie Hostel where those college students, they're in like Slovenia somewhere, like they're in Eastern Europe somewhere, and they get kidnapped from these youth hostels, and like these people get like killed for sport. Very violent. It's not for the faint of heart. But the movie Hostel, right? Eastern Europe looks terrible in that movie. It looks a lot like Akron. Like that's what, you know, the setting of the movie, everything's gray, depressing. You've got rundown factories, smokestacks everywhere. That's what Akron looks like. So if Dwayne Wade wants to have those slumber parties with LeBron in Akron, get bought out and maybe you take your talents to the mistake by the lake. But like Ira Winter, we talked about this with Ira in the 6 o'clock hour that, you know, it's not going to be a straight buyout, right? If Chicago buys out his $24 million, they're going to want him to give several million back, right? They may be asking for a 50-50 split. I think Dwayne Wade would have too much pride to do that. And Ira pointed out the irony. If Dwayne Wade ends up accepting a buyout from Chicago where they're buying him out for $24 million, he's giving 14 or 20 or 12 million. I can't do math. If they're buying him out for $24 million, he gives $12 million back. He would have been better off financially signing with the Heat last summer for the 2-year offer they gave him. He would have made more money on that deal. So this Chicago thing is a disaster. Texter writes in, Dono, I didn't hear all this hate for LeBron and Wade when they were playing in Miami. That's how this works. We defended LeBron when he was here. I'm not meaning to hate on Dwayne Wade, by the way. That's not my intention here. I did turn that into a rip LeBron session. That was very much intended, or a rip Akron, rip Cleveland session. That was done on purpose. For Dwayne Wade, I can understand him not wanting to play there with Jimmy Butler being gone, right? I can understand opting in for the money, and then I can also understand not wanting to play for a team with a terrible coach in Hoiberg, a teammate in Rajon Rondo who hates you, and then a bunch of 19-year-olds. I can understand him not wanting to be in that situation because you are future Hall of Famer in the twilight of your career. You don't want to waste your time on a loser, on a rebuilding team. I totally get it why he wants to play somewhere else, and I also understand wanting to get as much of that $24 million as possible. I get what Dwayne Wade is doing. I just don't think it's going to end well for him because Chicago's going to play hardball on that buyout. So I'm really not trying to rip Dwayne Wade here. That's not my intention. I completely understand what he's doing. I just think that you look back on it, last summer he would have been better making $4 million less and re-signing with the Heat than going to that debacle in Chicago. Oh, texter, right? He corrects me on my memory of Hostel. Rich people pay to kill them for a price. Saw the movie. Terrible. Good ending, though. I don't know. I didn't think it was that bad. I thought the sequel was pretty bad. They made a part two. Not good. Sequels are usually not very good. I thought part one was pretty decent. The Eli Roth movie, Hostel. Again, very violent. Like, make sure you ask your parents' permission before you watch the movie. Even if you're like 40, ask your parents before you watch it. Very violent movie. I didn't think it was that bad. Second movie was bad, though. Don't waste your time on that. Let's talk to John. You're on WQAM. What's up, John?
You know, it's funny. He will never admit that he made a bad mistake. I mean, everyone in the world knows Dwayne Wade made a bad mistake leaving Miami. You know, going to Chicago and possibly getting bought out and going on a team, trying to hop on a gravy train to win a championship. You know, Dwayne Wade will never admit it, but everyone in the world knows he made a terrible mistake. And as a Heat fan, you know, I can't sit there and be upset with Wade, but, you know, it bothers me how this guy put his feelings in front of a franchise. It's all about money, and at the end of the day, it got you nowhere. And, you know, and LeBron, you know, he's going to get what he wants. He's going to have the current big three. He's going to have one of the former big three. He's going to have that bum Carmelo Anthony.
Yeah. Hey, you know the thing is, like people keep, John, they keep raising this hypothetical. Like, oh, how awesome would Cleveland be with LeBron, Wade, and Carmelo on the same team? That team's going to become a liability because they're not going to play any defense. LeBron is going to have to. LeBron is going to have to guard three guys simultaneously. There's no defense coming from Wade and Melo.
And Donald, don't forget, they got one basketball. Wade and Bosch made it work, but now you got Wade, Kyrie Irving, LeBron, Ball Hog, Carmelo Anthony, and you got Pretty Boy Kevin Love. Come on now.
Yeah, Carmelo's just going to take every shot like he does already. How's he going to adjust to that? I don't like that. Oh, man, I spoiled it for somebody. Wrestling is fake, texter writes. Did I ever tell you, Solana, about the time I ruined Santa Claus for somebody? Spoiler alert, if your children are listening right now, just cover their ears. They already should not be listening because I gave some gruesome details from the Hostel movie. So your kids are already scarred for life. There's no turning back. But if your young children are listening, cover their ears for just a moment. But years ago, I'm on the air and just in like passing, I think what it was it was some kind of a story about, this is like 7-8 years ago, about Justin Bieber believing in Santa Claus, and I was ripping the guy. And then I had a dad call in during the commercial break, wanted to speak to me off air. He seemed serious. Like, it didn't seem like a crank call, seemed completely serious. He was really upset with me that I spoiled Santa Claus for his child. That his 6-year-old or 5-year-old, whatever it was, his young child was listening, and I ruined it for him. Like, I was the reason he found out that secret. So I just did that with wrestling. It's real to me, damn it.
Well, how about this? Don't lie to your kids, people.
That's another thing. You shouldn't, right? Although, you kind of have to. It's like a cartel. Like, you have to keep that lie up because you don't want your kid to be the one to ruin it for everybody else's kids. No parent wants to be that person. Because there was a kid like that in my school. I think I went until like second grade believing that, probably longer than most kids do, right? But that you always have that one smart ass in your class. He's like the second grade version of the 9/11 truther. He just wants to share that secret with everyone who will listen. Listen, you know, your parents told you about the guy with the sleigh and the reindeer. Let me tell you what's really going on. Let me tell you what happened to Tower 7. Like, you always have that kid in your class, the 1 7-8-year-old who spoils it for everybody. You don't want to be the parent of that kid. You don't want to have that kid. You want your kid just to live in blissful ignorance with everybody else. 56022 on the plumbers911.com text line. Clickbait coming up. Cougar dating a much younger man. Does that make you uncomfortable? Does that bring up some stigma? We'll discuss a high-profile case next.
We know you spend a lot of time online. Well, so do we.
Here's tonight's edition of Clickbait on the Alex Dono Show.
I know this is kind of interesting. I've always been, well, always, for like the last 10, 15 years, been a big fan of Kate Beckinsale, the actress. Underworld series. She was in The Aviator with DiCaprio. Beautiful, beautiful actress. And she's British, so I dig the accent as well. You know, 43 years old now. You would put that in cougar territory, right? You hit the 40, she's now a cougar. 43-year-old Kate Beckinsale is dating a 21-year-old aspiring actor. I mean, that guy is killing it, I'll tell you. Matt Rife, 21-year-old actor, is dating 43-year-old Kate Beckinsale. I mean, all I have to say is good for him, right? Like, you see stories like this, and most people, I tip my cap to him, yes. You see a story like this, a lot of people say, oh, it's weird, it's creepy. If this were, you know, like, how many times have we seen, like, 43-year-old Leonardo DiCaprio dating a 21-year-old model, and you want to line up to high-five the guy, right? Good for Beckinsale, good for Matt Rife. The two things are a little bit strange about this, right? I'm not going to say it's all peachy keen for me. A couple things that are weird. Seen a picture of this dude, Matt Rife, looks a little bit like Justin Bieber. He's 21 years old, looks 13. That's a little strange. The other part of it is, give me a ruling on this one, because I had even said, right, that listen, they're both above age, they're both grown-ups. They're of age, I should say, they're both grown-ups. Whose business is it if a hot 43-year-old cougar wants to date some 21-year-old dude? It's their business, not ours. No crime is being committed. Love is a powerful thing. But is this a little strange, though, knowing that Kate Beckinsale's oldest child, her daughter, is 19? Is that a little weird that she's dating some dude 2 years older than her own daughter? I wonder if, like, he can parlay it into a situation where he's getting pinballed between the two of them. That might be the way to go for this guy. I love how I started out the rant sounding like I'm such a, you know, anti-chauvinistic person, and then I'm picturing this dude, like, dating the mom one night, dating the daughter the next night. My mind went to a very, very terrible place. But it's a little strange, though, Solana, that, you know, Kate Beckinsale, she's 43, he's 21, it's nobody's business but theirs, but she does have a 19-year-old daughter, right? That the daughter is only 2 years younger than the dude she's with. That part might make it a little bit strange. Now, I saw another thing today, clickbait. There's a lot I don't know about the Czech Republic, right? But a Czech Republic, where is the story? Okay, here it is. A nuclear power plant in the Czech Republic. This story was actually sent to me via our buddy Sexual Chocolate, so kudos to him. And by the way, you guys can always contribute to clickbait. Just find me on Twitter. At Alex Dono, send me stories. I'd love to get the listeners involved in this. A nuclear power plant in the Czech Republic essentially used a bikini contest to choose their next unpaid female intern. So what they did was, right, and first of all, 18-year-old girls right out of high school, you're trying to get internships at a nuclear power plant? It's very strange to me. Like, there's a lot I don't know about the Czech culture, right? I mean, you're talking about, like, American girls just out of high school. They're trying to get internships at, like, Vogue, TMZ, like, fashion magazines. Apparently, the big thing with high school chicks in the Czech Republic, soon as I graduate, getting an unpaid internship at the nuclear power plant. That's where we're going. But you could tell, man, it's a man's world. The guys running this nuclear power plant, they decided to go to social media, to Facebook, to choose their next intern. They post pictures of all 10 of these girls in bikinis, and whoever gets the most likes gets the internship. They use a bikini contest to crown the next intern. And what ended up happening was, predictably, and I have a feeling it was Americans who probably found this and ruined this, because we're such social justice warriors over here. But, you know, people caught wind of this. They got a lot of bad publicity, like, oh, this is terrible. It's very sexist. You know, you're choosing one of 10, 18, 19-year-old young ladies by publishing a bikini contest. They had to apologize for it, and they had to announce they gave interns to all 10 girls. So that was the end result of this. So at least they resolved this at the end, but a nuclear power plant in the Czech Republic decided to choose their next intern out of a pool of 10 18, 19-year-old girls by running a bikini contest on their Facebook page. Very strange. I've got to learn more about the culture. I should ask Yarmir Yager about this, what's going on over there. Seems to fit in. I got to find out more information on this, but that is clickbait for today. You're a younger guy, Solana. Would you, if you could get into a committed relationship with a 43-year-old Kate Beckinsale, you down with that?
Abso-freaking-lutely,
yes,
Donald.
That's what I wanted to hear.
I want to know a little more details about how this relationship began. Like, did they meet on set, or did he pick her up at a Blue Martini? Because
probably the latter.
Yeah, because, all right, well, sounds like I'm going there tonight.
Seriously, like, if you can, like, you'd probably have to go to, like, West Hollywood or something, but get out, and I don't mean West Hollywood, Florida, I mean West Hollywood, California. Like, get out there, go to Blue Martini, find yourself a hot actress. Because I don't know, like, because the story that I read, they described him as an aspiring actor, so it doesn't sound like he was on the same set with her, right? And the only thing that I know about these two, Kate Beckinsale and 21-year-old Matt Rife, who she's dating, they're really big on the PDA. That anytime the paparazzi finds them, like, she's putting her arm around the dude, she's making out with him.
Oh my God, I hate this kid.
If you want to be him,
I
want to
be him.
Is why you
so
hate him.
Bad.
Oh man, so she's big on the PDA. So this almost sounds like she may be trying to help his career. Like, I'm not saying that she doesn't legitimately like this guy. Like, I'm not saying the relationship is a sham, but maybe she realizes, how do I get Matt Rife a role in Sharknado 5? Like, how do I get this guy famous? Right? Like, I'm already in love with this person, might be what she's thinking. I want to spend some time with this dude. Maybe I can help his career. Because if he's photographed, like, making out with me in an airport terminal, I can make him, like, the next hot name in acting. Right? Because if they kept this relationship a secret, it's doing nothing for his career. So this might be a calculated move on her part. Kate is hot as bleep, a texter writes. Oh, huge fan of hers. And you feel like she's got the staying power that she's probably going to look great well into her 50s, right? Like, I don't think those looks are declining anytime soon, Kate Beckinsale. Like, I think she's going to be fine for a very long time, if you know what I'm saying. So this Matt Rife, you put in the time, you're going to have, like, a decade plus with this woman before you move on to the next thing, if he ever does become famous. 8 o'clock hour coming up. 8:25 tonight. We'll talk a little puck. We'll talk a little hockey with George Richards from the Miami Herald. Florida Panthers started development camp, D camp, as we call it in the biz today. So we'll get to some of that. We'll take your Heat calls. 56022 is how you reach us on the plumbers911.com text line. But please don't text and drive. You can get at us via the phone lines at 305-567-0560 or 954-567-0560. Oh, and how about this? We'll have this on the other side as well. You know, I can appreciate a sports fan, right? Like, people who are passionate about their Miami Dolphins. Like, I love that. I love to see that passion. But when is far enough too far? Like, when can you take things as a sports fan to a level that just goes beyond common decency? I think I have an example of that next here on WQAM.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.